New Zealand au pair agencies say they'll go under unless the government gives them an exemption to bring in overseas workers that in turn allow essential employees like nurses and doctors to do their jobs too. Three agencies bring in about 1,000 live-in childcare workers a year, mainly from Europe, but they haven't been able to bring a single worker in since March. Au pairs live in a family's home and provide childcare in exchange for board and a weekly cash allowance. And they're often young people who travel New Zealand after their contracts end. Morgan Holyoake, CEO of Au Pair Link, says she's tried to recruit locally, but with little success.
Obviously, since March borders closing, we haven't been able to bring one single au pair into New Zealand. And between our sort of three agencies, on an average a year, we bring 1,000 together. So since March, we've brought none. So all of our businesses are in dire need of some support or some answers, really, or otherwise we're going to have to close up shop.
So why do you need to bring in overseas workers? What's the problem with having Kiwi au pairs?
Yeah, sure. So, look, from March, as soon as we found out this happened, we started recruiting locally and thought we had a pretty good sort of package. We pay them, you know, at least minimum wage, so they're not sort of taken for granted. And they earn sort of good money and have good benefits. Kiwis just don't want to live in, we've found. We've placed sort of, you know, a dozen between our agencies, but they've already got, you know, housing with their families, or they're, you know, at university and they've got accommodation there, or living with flatmates. And part of being an au pair is living in, is being part of a family. It's a cultural exchange as well as a job. And, you know, you don't tend to go do that in sort of your local neighbourhood.
So to be clear about that, the distinction is, as you say, au pairs as opposed to nannies. Au pairs live on site with the family. And is that considered to be part of your pay package?
Absolutely, yeah. So you're board and lodging, so you know you'd pay sort of between $200 and $300 a week rent in Auckland, for example. It's all your food, petrol if you need to use the car for work purposes, your phone, all of that, your internet, everything. And then on top of that, you get cash in hand each week, and on average about $250 gross, you know, cash that they can spend just as sort of fun money.
Okay, so, well, because some people would argue the reason that you want to bring these workers in from overseas is because you can pay them less by subsidising the package with accommodation and potentially get them to work longer hours, and maybe that's why Kiwis don't want it.
Yeah, and I can understand that. There's definitely misconceptions about the industry. We've been doing this for over sort of 12 years, au pair link, so we know, we've faced that. I think what the thing people need to understand is the reason people come through agencies is so they don't get taken advantage of. None of our au pairs work more than 45 hours. They all have employment and contracts that we oversee. You know, they've got great working conditions. They've got around-the-clock 24-hour support with us, so no one is sort of put into a, you know, an unscreened, unsafe, underpaid home at all. So that's definitely not the case. I think, you know, the cultural side of it definitely gets neglected and gets put aside. People don't realise that. They're a big sister or a big brother, and they, you know, they do work, they do get paid, but they also might want to go to the wedding on the Saturday with the family because they choose to, you know, or go on that camping trip around, you know, the country. So it's a bit more than just a job, but it's also a choice for them as well. There's no pressure to have to work more than that.
So how do you work out how much cash they get in their hands? Is there a set fee taken for the accommodation and food? Is it the same for every household that they would enter?
Yep, absolutely. Yep, it's standard rate, and they sign up to our program and everything gets standard. So they all get a minimum of $18.90 an hour times the amount of hours they work, and then the portion gets deducted from that for their board and lodgings.
And just to be clear about the fees and the way the people are paid, so they get a minimum of $250-odd in their hands. So on the minimum wage and 45 hours a week, how much is being deducted for accommodation and board in essence then?
Yeah, sure. So for board and lodgings, it's about $440. Yep. And then you've got tax on top of that, which works out for a 45-hour week at about $150.
Are you prepared to pay for managed isolation for the workers coming in?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got a plan in place. We submitted that would all be covered by a combination of ourselves, the agency, the families and the au pairs. So there'd be no cost to the government. Yeah, absolutely.
So have you tried to get these workers in as critical workers? And, well, why do you think they are critical workers?
Yeah, look, I know people will argue that a childcare worker is not critical, but I definitely disagree with that. Yes, you can get other people in different countries that can do it. However, the uniqueness of living in is what we need, and that's why international people tend to do it. The reason we've been trying to position them as critical workers is at least 30% of our families are essential workers. So they're doctors, they're police officers, they're nurses, they're farmers, or they're single parents. And they need different childcare arrangements. 9 to 5 doesn't work for them in a daycare. So they don't have an option. And when we tried to recruit for Kiwis locally to help these families out, Kiwis don't want to do it. So right now, these families have either A, had to give up their jobs, pay, you know, huge amounts of money to figure it out if they can afford it, which a lot of them can't, or do reduced hours, or some of them don't have family members here, so they can't get extra support. So some of them are just in real dire need, really.
So your agency, Morgan, tried to get local workers. About how many did you manage to get on the books?
Oh, I think we got 9 since March. And like I said, we place about between 400 to 600 a year.
Who normally comes for these jobs? From where?
So Germany, France, UK, America, Sweden are kind of our main countries. They're generally between 18 and 25, so they're doing a gap year or before they go to university. They're wanting to see the world and explore another culture. They're interested in childcare or psychology and things like that, so want some work experience. They're keen travellers. You know, they want to come to New Zealand and spend some money here and boost up tourism. And they want to be part of a family and help them out as well. So, yeah, it's a really unique experience.
So, just so I'm clear on this, you failed in an attempt to get them brought in as critical workers. That application was rejected, was it?
It was, yeah. Basically, we got told that that they need to be critical for the delivery of projects that are of economic importance to the country, and that they need to have international expertise that we can't obtain here. And our argument for both of those is we've tried to obtain them here, we can't, and B, they do have, you know, economic importance for the country. I mean, alone with between our three agencies, Au Pair Link, Dream Au Pair and Play School, we bring 1,000 au pairs in a year, and the submission we've put into everybody and to all the MPs we've sent to is that's about 15.5 million a year that comes into New Zealand. And they're helping New Zealand families. It's not just tourism. They're actually helping Kiwis with their childcare.
And that's Morgan Holyoke. And Morgan and a couple of au pairs talk about these issues and more on this week's Voices podcast, which you can find on the RNZ website.